All right, we'll go ahead and get started, and we won't take the whole time here probably, so we'll give you guys a little break to stretch your legs. What I'm basically going to do is briefly, and by the way, my name is Jack Williams, and I'm the manager of affiliate relations here at EWTN Radio, for those of you who may not know me. If you do know me, my apologies. All of you should have received, we've kind of updated the Raising the Bar program. Program itself is really essentially the same, but we've just kind of tidied up and moderned up the video, tightened it up a little bit. It's gone from like 2 hours to a little bit less than an hour. So everyone should have received one of these in your little goodie bag that you got. So it has a DVD that has the presentation of the program in video form, and then there's a CD-ROM that has all of the support documents to execute the program that are talked about in the DVD, okay? So those are there for you to print out. You can add your own apostolate logos to the things that need to have your own apostolate logos attached to them. So essentially, this program has, as you will learn when you watch the DVD, clearly we have to have money to run these operations. In the world that we live, that's just the reality of the situation. But the number one goal and reason of the program is not to raise money, okay? When we go into a parish, we're not looking for people's money. Now, we need money to operate, as I said. But what we're looking to do is we are looking to get people to listen to your station, okay? The number one primary goal of this whole program is to get people to turn your station on, okay? Now, there's a protocol that needs to be followed as well as a proven method. And I'm going to tell you, I give the spiel every time, and I will have the eyes rolling every time from a certain group of folks that will listen in just about every room. But this program, executed the way it's laid out, is undefeated. It has never been unsuccessful if it's done the way that it's laid out, and you follow the program the way it's laid out. Anytime folks have deviated from it or thought that they can improve upon it or this, that, or the other thing, it has come with some sort of diminished returns associated with it, okay? So please hear me on this. If you follow the program, it works. People will deviate, they'll tweak this, they'll tweak that, they'll come back and they'll say, well, the program doesn't work. Well, the program works. What you executed is what doesn't work, okay? So I'm just going to go through a brief outline of this, and again, it's all in the DVD, which you can watch, really in less than an hour's time, so I would encourage everybody when you have an opportunity to do that, to go ahead and do that. The whole program starts with a meeting with the local bishop. EWTN provides all of its programming free of charge to anybody who has the means and the wherewithal to be able to carry that programming. If you can procure a radio station or if you can get access to a radio station that can carry programming, we will provide the programming free of charge. That was Mother Angelica's pledge. She started the shortwave radio network in 1992. This AM/FM network sprung out of her on her live show one night, announcing that she would provide that satellite signal to anybody who would have the means to pick up a satellite signal and broadcast it over the airwaves free of charge. And she started doing that in 1996, and that's what we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of here today. However, we have one criteria for anybody who wants to use this program, and that criteria is that they must have the blessing and approval of the local ordinary, okay? If the bishop does not give his permission and the bishop does not sign off on using the program in the diocese, then we will not use the program in the diocese, okay? And for Roel to say, well, I talked to Bishop and he said everything's cool, that's not good enough. I need to see the bishop tell me that it is okay for him, for us to proceed. So the first step in this is to have a meeting with the bishop. Now, we have a couple of goals when we have this meeting with the bishop. And those goals are for him to give us his blessing and approval to proceed with the Catholic radio project in his diocese, and then we would like for him to agree to either host or at least be present at a kickoff event Okay, and the third thing that we're looking for is we would like for him to write a letter to the pastors of his diocese that is very specific, not mandating, but asking them, letting them know that the project has his approval, and asking them to allow us to go into the parish on a weekend slate of masses and make a 6-minute scripted presentation and ask people to make pledges in the parish in support of the Radio Progress project, rather. So the three things we're looking for: bishop's approval, for the bishop to host or be present at a kickoff event, and for the bishop to write a letter to his pastors. All right. Who attends this meeting with the bishop? You, as an operator, would contact your bishop and you would set up a meeting and you would ask the bishop for a brief 15 or 20 minute meeting with yourself and a representative from EWTN with the bishop, okay? It's very important that you keep that number as low as possible. So if you can get a meeting with your bishop for yourself and a representative from EWTN, which would be me, essentially, then I will come and I will conduct this meeting with the bishop to get these three things. And I have never had a meeting with a bishop to date that I have not walked out of the meeting with these three things. Okay, and those meetings are generally not very long unless the bishop wants to socialize for a while after we have gained those three things. All right, if we can get those three things in 3 minutes, then we got a 3-minute meeting. We will tip our hat and say, thank you, Your Excellency. We are on the way. Okay, but it's very important that you not bring a herd of people in to try to see the bishop. Because if you start saying that you want to have a meeting for 4 or 5 people from this radio project, well, the next thing the bishop is going to think is, well, if they've got 5 or 6 people, then maybe I need to have 3 or 4 people. And the more voices you get in the room, the less likely it is that you're going to get the outcome that you desire. Okay? So it's important that the meeting be scheduled for one person representing the radio project and a representative from EWTN. And what we bring as representatives of EWTN is we bring instant credibility with the bishops. We don't have very many bishops out there anymore. Now, back in 20 years ago, there was a little bit more opposition and uncertainty as to exactly what we're doing and what on earth is this crazy nun up to, but we don't see that anymore at all. We have almost universal support from the episcopacy in the United States almost across the board. So we bring instant credibility with us when we walk in as a representative of EWTN, and we also bring letters from their brother bishops, the very letter that we're asking from him, that shows his brother bishops have given the same support in their dioceses that we're asking for him to give in his diocese. We'll also do a little bit of research. We'll find out who he may have gone to seminary with, who he has associated with in the past, and if we can get a letter, an example letter from one of the people that he knows the best, then we will bring that letter for that particular bishop. Okay? So that's the who and the when. The when is as soon as possible. This is really in a startup situation. If you were going to buy a radio station, you know, we would want to schedule that meeting with the bishop just as early as possible, you know, really even before you sign a contract. If you have some sort of a soft agreement that you can back out of, that's when you want to have the meeting. You don't want to walk into the meeting saying, Bishop, I bought a radio station. We're going to have Catholic programming all the time, and we're hoping that you'll support. That's not how we do things. We want the bishop's approval on the front end before we do anything. So this has to be a deal that if for some reason the bishop has any sort of an objection to, that we can back out of. And really, that's about that. Now, a lot of people that are already established, if you've never done parish presentations, you know, at that point you would just make that meeting, you know, as soon as you could be able to, you know, get my schedule and the bishop's schedule together. And I usually try to keep things as open as possible. So if the bishop gives a date, I always like to try to be able to accommodate whatever a bishop may be gracious enough to get us. As far as the bishop's letter goes, once he agrees to write the letter, it's very important that it's followed up on immediately, okay? You've got to get him to, once he says he'll write the letter, you got to get him to write the letter. And you got to make sure the letter says what it's supposed to say. Part of the support material in the CD-ROM is a sample of that bishop's letter. And ideally, we would just like to have the diocesan letterhead on it, his name, use it verbatim. It doesn't have to be exactly verbatim. They usually like to tweak something here and there. And that's fine, but we need to get it quickly because the longer it waits, the further it gets out, the bishops are hammered with stuff every day. And every day out that we're not following up on these things, it's a day further removed from being in his complete and total focus. So it's important that that letter have the proper content. Once we've gotten these three things from the bishop, it's time at that point to schedule the parishes. And you want to schedule the parishes that are within the listening area of the station that you're trying to raise money for, okay? There's nothing worse than going into a parish and doing a presentation and selling the greatness of this radio station and having three-fourths of the parishioners go out and not be able to hear the radio station. So you want to go to the parishes that are within the listening area of the radio station, and you're going to send them a parish information packet, okay? That parish information packet contains sample letters from the bishop's letter. It will have some information about your station. It would be nice to have like a program schedule, and it will have, there are several things. It'll give a sample. Really, it'll have a sample blurb of all of the programming. There's a example that you would just add your apostolate logo to here that will tell you everything that would go into that parish packet that's going to go to the pastors of the parishes that you're going to try to get yourself into. You can either send it out with the bishop's letter, or sometimes the bishop, the chancery, would like to send that out themselves, in which case you would just provide as many copies of the parish information packet that they can attach a letter to, and that's really the ideal situation. If it comes from the chancery to the pastors, it's even more impactful. But if they want you to mail it, you'll just get the letter and attach the letter to the information that's in the parish information packet, mail it out to the pastors. It's really important that those all get mailed on the same day, because our pastors all talk to each other and they're having a constant dialogue, and if one gets it and the other one doesn't, they're going to know about it, okay? So it's really important that you send those out on the same day so that they all arrive at approximately the same time. After the mailings have gone out, 3 business days later, so you would wait 3 business days, so if you mailed it on a Tuesday, you would start calling on a Friday, and you will make a call to that parish every business day until the parish has either scheduled a weekend slate of masses or has declined and said no. Okay, and there will be some no's, not a whole lot, but there will be some no's involved. But it's vitally important that you call every single business day. You are going to be on a first name basis with the pastor's secretary, I promise you. And she's going to be looking for your call every day. She might even be dreading your call every day. But she's going to be waiting for you to get a hold of her every day until they either schedule. And that's what's going to get you through to the pastor eventually, is that the parish secretary is going to be sick of taking that phone call every day, and she's going to get his attention and talk to him. That's when you'll be able to schedule the parish. So really, again, as with most of this, follow-up is the key. Now, as far as when you go into the parishes, one of the things that makes the program most effective is the fact that we take matching funds into the parishes. And that's the purpose of the kickoff event that we have asked the bishop to host or be present at. The apostolate kickoff event is where you raise these matching funds, okay? You will invite whoever the bishop would like to invite. You would invite anybody that you think would be interested in the project that you know of personally, folks that you know would be sympathetic to your cause. You're going to want to put it in the parish bulletin of all the parishes that are involved. You're going to want to put it in the diocesan newspaper. You're going to want to get as many people to come to this kickoff event as possible that you think are sympathetic to this. And not only are you going to invite all those people, but we will invite donors of ours here at EWTN from the zip codes of the parishes that are involved. So you give us the zip codes that live in the parishes that you're trying to get into, and we will send invitations from EWTN to donors of ours in those zip codes, inviting them to your parish kickoff event. Okay? And when you have that parish kickoff event, that's where we're going to raise the matching funds that we're going to take into the parishes. Obviously, this needs to take place before the parish presentations. An EWTN representative, again, most likely me, will come to that event and will do the ask at the end of the event to help solicit these funds. Funds that are raised at the parish kickoff event cannot be used until they are matched at the parish level. All right? Everything is done with the utmost integrity, as you would expect, And if you have told them that these funds are to be matched at the parish level, which can be a very big incentive for people at a kickoff event, if they know that their money is going to be matched by not just one person, but potentially hundreds of people at the parish level, it's a very attractive thing to folks that might be inclined to give a larger amount. So those funds cannot be used. They have to be set aside in a separate account until they are matched at the parish level. You can't run out and buy this piece of equipment or that piece of equipment until it is matched. The other thing that's important here is that the fund can consist of money pledged as well as money promised. And that's why we spread this out. We give them the opportunity of making a monthly pledge, and then we can take the amount of that monthly pledge that they've made, multiply that over the 12 months of a year, and then that will be the dollars that we can use as matching funds to take into a parish. Okay? So if they were to pledge $10 a month, and I'll make this, I'll usually use an analogy like this when I make the appeal at a parish kickoff event, is I'll tell, you know, someone who may be thinking about giving a $50 one-time gift at this event, I'll tell them if you can make a $10 or a $20 monthly pledge, which ultimately might be less of a burden on you in the long run on a monthly basis, you'll end up giving much more to the cause than you otherwise would have if you had only given the $50 one time. So we would ask that you would consider making a monthly pledge. The capital campaign itself, how we would arrive at what we were trying to do would be, in a startup situation, it would be the cost of the purchase of the station and any needed upgrades and 2 to 3 years of operating expense. All right. So if you had a radio, if you were buying a full power radio station that cost $500,000 and you had a notion that it was going to cost you maybe $125,000 a year to operate that station effectively, then we would have a capital campaign of $750,000. It would be $500,000 for the startup, $125,000 twice for the first 2 years of operating expense, and we would go into that parish kickoff event with that number in mind to give people an idea of what they're shooting for. Then what you're going to do is you're going to take that money, and you're going to take it and you're going to divide it depending upon the demographics and the giving history of the parish, because if you look at any parish bulletin, it'll tell you what the offerings are on a weekly basis, and we'll use that to determine how big a piece of the pie gets taken into each one of the parishes, okay, when we actually do those presentations. So that's what the parish kickoff event is for, is to raise the matching funds for us to take into the parish when we do that portion of the event. We provide scripts when you call the pastors. Once the parish is scheduled, you want to send a confirmation letter right away once they have agreed to let you come in to the parish. And the letter should reiterate everything that was in the bishop's letter. And that's why it's so important that we get the right letter from the bishop. Because every objection that a pastor might have to you coming into the parish is answered in a properly written letter from the bishop. Then at that point, when they ask a question like, well, how long is this presentation going to be? You refer back to the bishop's letter. Well, as it said in the bishop's letter, it's a 6-minute scripted presentation. If they should ask you, well, when is this going to take place? You say, as it said in the bishop's letter, it should take place after communion if possible. You know, if they should give, some sort of a question about the time frame, one thing we cover, you know, we ask the bishops to give us a time frame that they would like us to conduct these parish presentations within, because we don't want to conflict with any fundraising activities that the diocese may have or that the bishop may have. But we always ask him, if we run into a parish that has a parish-specific event going on during those times, would it be okay to schedule a parish here or there outside of that time frame? So that we can then say to the pastor, you know, the bishop, in speaking with the bishop, he has given us permission to schedule a couple of these presentations outside of that time frame. So if the letter's written correctly, everything you do can refer back to the bishop's letter. Because then you do not become an agent of yourself or a representative of the radio station. Really, in effect, you become a de facto representative of the bishop by referring back to everything that was in the bishop's letter. We do provide a sample of a pre-talk bulletin announcement. If a parish should ask you for an announcement to put in the bulletin in advance of you coming to do parish presentations, we have a sample, but we really would only give that to people if they ask for it. Most parishes won't ask for it, and there's really no need to tell people ahead of time that you're coming to talk about the radio project. There's really not a lot of need for it, but if a pastor would ask, we give you a sample of what you would give them as a bulletin announcement. All right. The key to this whole thing is exactly how you execute these presentations at the parish level. This is vitally important, and any deviation, and I've been at places where it's been done correctly at the affiliate level, and I have been at places at the affiliate level where folks have deviated from the plan. And everywhere that I've seen firsthand it deviated from, it has come at a significant cost. You won't get as many pledge cards if you don't do it the way that we have it lined up. The presenter needs to arrive 45 minutes, and everything, again, is on this CD-ROM, so anything from the pledge card template to everything that you need to execute these presentations and instructions are included on that CD-ROM. So the presenter needs to arrive 45 minutes before the first Mass on Saturday evening in order to set the church up properly. And then the presenter will need to arrive 30 minutes before all subsequent Masses. You'll also need pledge cards. You want to take more pledge cards with you than you think you'll ever need, okay? And you want to take small golf pencils. You can get them at Staples or Home Depot or Office Max for nothing. They're dirt cheap. You want small pre-sharpened golf pencils, more than you think you'll ever need. And then you're going to need a box for every exit, okay? And you want this box to have a large opening on top. You want it to fill the base of a folding chair, pretty much. And you want to have one of those for every exit in the church. Now, the pledge cards, this is a point that folks want to compromise on, and it's really important that you not. Pledge cards are placed on only one end of the pew. The pew closest to the middle of the church. One end of the pew, the end closest to the middle of the church. If you put them only on one end of the pew, you only need one person in that pew to do what you're asking them to do to make the whole thing work. If you put them on both ends of the pew, then you need two people in that pew to do what they're supposed to, what you're asking them to do to make it work. And you don't want to spread them out because then you've got a situation where you've got everybody that has to do what you would like for them to do. They need to be neatly stacked. Very important that they're neatly stacked on the end of the pew with the pencils neatly stacked on top of them. If they're just strewn about, it's not going to look like you care about it, so why should they care about it? If you look like you've taken great care to place this in a certain way, then they're going to place value on what you've done as well. So that's the setup. One end of the pew, the end closest to the middle of the church. Who gives the presentation? The only qualifications, really, to give the presentation are a willingness to be trained in the presentation and to familiarize. You can read it, but you should be familiar with it when you go in, and you have to be willing to stick to the script. It's a 6-minute scripted presentation that, again, we have found to be very effective, undefeated anywhere that it's been used the way it's set up. The only hard and fast rule is the presentation should not be given by a parishioner of that parish, okay? Because whether we like it or not, for good or for ill, all of us have a reputation at our own parish. And if we give the presentation at a parish where everybody knows us, we are immediately going to be excluding a certain number of people. Because no matter what situation you walk into, no matter how you conduct yourself, in every situation where you've got more than 2 or 3 people involved, some of the people are going to like you and some of the people are not going to like you. So we don't want to eliminate a certain group of people right off the bat, okay? Now, would it matter from a dollars and cents standpoint? I'm not sure. It may or it may not. But it will affect the number of pledge cards you receive. You know, you may get as much money or more in your parish because the people who like you might give more. But I can promise you that you will get fewer pledge cards, okay? And again, our number one goal here is not dollars and cents. Our number one goal is to get people to listen to your station. And the more pledge cards you get, you know those people are going to listen to your station because now they're a partner with you. They've invested something into you, and they're going to listen to the station. If they listen to the station, I promise you the overwhelming majority of them will support you going forward. And I can promise you that if they'll turn in a pledge card for $5, they will support you going down the road. So you may not end up losing bottom line money from that weekend, but what you might lose is you might lose that $5 one-time pledge from a gal who might have turned your radio station on who otherwise wouldn't have. And she might turn that on at a spot in her life where she was considering doing some stuff that maybe she hadn't ought to be doing. Or maybe she was in a hopeless situation that she didn't see any way out of, and she found hope and light in the gospel by listening to your station. That's the pledge card that you can't afford to not get. Amen? And then the presenter should be up front in a front pew, ready to go at the end of Mass so that you don't have to make a spectacle of yourself walking through the whole length of the church to get up to speak when Father calls on you. All right. Follow-up is essential after this. Phone calls have to be made to everybody who filled out a pledge card on the first or second day. So Monday and Tuesday, everybody who turned in a pledge card has to receive a phone call. So when you go into a parish to do a presentation, you have to have the people lined up to be able to make these phone calls. 90% of them are going to be left on answering machines. We give you the scripts for all these phone calls on your CD-ROM. But you've got to have the people willing to make the phone calls, ready to go. Most of them, like I said, will be left on answering machines, so it really doesn't take a whole ton of time, but it is vitally important that you make those phone calls. Yes? The Wednesday after the Sunday that you were there, you want to get a bulletin announcement into the bulletin thanking them and telling them the results of the weekend after you've tabulated the results. By the end of the week, all reminders should have been mailed. So all the reminders of what their pledge is, with an envelope giving them an opportunity to fulfill the pledge, need to be in the mail by the Friday after you made the presentation on a Sunday. If you don't take care of all of this in the first week, you will cut your fulfillment rate from 60 to 70% down to 40 or 45%. Okay, it's vitally important that you strike while the iron is hot. They've made an emotional response. You have to follow up while that emotional response is clear in their mind. Vitally important. And then I'll close here. And again, all of this is in much greater detail on the DVD that you can watch when you have the opportunity. But this is the biggest point of the entire presentation. You cannot, do not in any way look at a pledge card while you're in the parish, okay? When you collect those pledge cards and you gather them up, get them in a neat little stack, put a rubber band around them, and stick them in a corner, put them in your briefcase, stick them in a box. Do not look at them, count them, tabulate anything while you're in a church, okay? Because if you've got three masses on a Sunday and you've taken $10,000 of matching funds into that parish, and after the first two masses you've counted the pledge cards and they've pledged $11,000, how on earth at that point could you go into that third mass with any kind of a clean conscience and tell them that you have matching funds when you know that those matching funds have all been used up, okay? So it's very important that you don't do any tabulating in the parish. You just gobble up the cards at every parish. You tell them how much had been pledged as matching funds for their parish for that weekend. And then when you get home on Sunday or Monday, you can then sit down and determine what you've done, okay? So essentially, that's the program in a nutshell. Number one goal, to get people to listen to your radio station. If they'll listen to your station, they'll support you, okay? The thing that kills radio stations is nobody's listening to them. That's what will get you every time, all right? Cost? There's some cost. Yeah, there's some printing cost. And there will be a little bit of cost. Now, when you do this kickoff event, I didn't really get into it in great detail. You want this to be very simple, okay? You know, maybe some light snacks and some drinks, maybe. You don't even need to do that, really. You know, the only other big thing about a kickoff event is you don't want to do it in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So you really want to have it in like a parish hall, or if somebody that you're affiliated with has some sort of a meeting space that you could use. That doesn't even have to be at the church, just anywhere. It just really needs to not be in the church. It needs to be in a fellowship hall, you know, or somewhere like that. So just, you know, the cost of some light snacks maybe for the kickoff meeting. Then you're going to have, like I said, printing costs. You're going to have a little bit of postage that's going to be involved in that. You're going to have the cost. And one thing I didn't mention is that I will come to your kickoff event. I'll come and meet with the bishop at no charge. You know, my time is free. The only thing that you have to pay for is to get me there and get me back. And then, you know, if I have to spend the night, then I'd have to spend the night for a night. But, so travel expenses and printing costs and some light refreshments, if you wanted to have that at your meeting, would really be the only things to implement the program that I could think of up front. And the printing costs really would be minimal if you do those the right way. All right, take a break. Thanks for coming. Enjoy the rest of the conference. Make sure you watch the DVD. It's much better than the presentation I gave. The presenter is no better looking, but...